to answer some of your pained technical questions that you might have as to how to get better shortwave reception, how to make your shortwave radio sound better than that little piece of crap speaker that comes along in the thing, you know? And you know, that's one thing I noticed from sitting in with Alan and Alan H. Weiner Worldwide last night, is there's more and more new people coming to shortwave radio, and that's a cool thing, so we have to kind of get it going. And if you're a first-time tuner in here and you tune into this madness, I'm sure if you listen to this station, you'll hear of extremely wide variety of programs. But this one deals with technical subjects. After all, shortwave radio is a more technical kind of thing compared to the usual AM or FM radio that you might just plug in, turn on, tune in, and drop dead, you know? Or drop out, is it? So there's various means of improving your shortwave radio reception with the appropriate antenna. And there's a number of them out there that are being advertised, but an antenna is very simple. It's just an FPW, a friggin' piece of wire. But it has to be of the appropriate dimensions to get absolute maximum performance. Yes, indeed. And we'll just leave it at that, because antennas are a subject I've somewhat beaten to death, but in my own personal experiences with radio, it's one of the more interesting aspects, as mundane as it may be, either pieces of aluminum tubing or heavy-duty pieces of wire with those sexy glass insulators with pleasure ridges holding some skywire aloft. Or in the case of the dipole curtain array, which I constructed here, which is in use on 5105. That thing is going to get moved to 9330. I'm going to be doing some experiments on 17.495, see if we can get bigger bang for the buck here, because that's what it's all about, is fine-tuning and honing the good ship BCQ. Maybe I should start getting up on the 17-meter band. 17 meters? Yes. I'm generally crystal controlled there on 18.150, you know, and that is regarded by a lot of people as an oxymoron. Here is one of the WARC bands. That stands for World Administrative Radio Conference. I think it was back in 79. All the nations of the, well, I use the term very loosely, the free world and the unfree world get together, and they decide these frequencies are for this, these frequencies are for that. And amateur radio has been getting, to put it bluntly, the 10-1000 end of the stick. But thanks to a number of dedicated people, both here and abroad, these 17 and 12-meter bands became available. And they're only 100 kilohertz wide segments, in which the bottom 40 kilohertz are for CW and digital-type narrowband modes. And the upper 60 kilohertz is reserved for radio telephone. Now, radio telephone emissions can take place in either sideband, that's single sideband, FM frequency modulation, and then, of course, the ever more popular amplitude modulation, which we're broadcasting on right now. But who knows, you might hear this program on 9330 or 5105 or 17.495 as some fill, you know, like a couple of years from now or something, because somebody was hard up to put it on the air. And you'll be wondering, because what I'm probably putting forth here may be totally out of date, but that's the way it is. But the work bands are one of those things that, you know, you look at ham radio and, oh, the amateur radio operator is progressive and he must operate single sideband. Well, I've been one of those miscreants and one of those considered to be years ago a renegade, because I've always enjoyed the simplicity and the beauty, whoops, as I'm dropping things here, of good old amplitude modulation. YAM, as it is known as in some circles. Well, with amplitude modulation, it's not the most efficient mode for voice transmission. It's a little more efficient than narrowband FM. Well, what can I say? Under most propagation conditions, a moderate amount of power on good old amplitude modulation is enough to communicate comfortably with. But the big thing is the argument about spectrum. Now, you would think that if you're going to operate on the warp bands, you have a rice box. That's a slang term for a Japanese transceiver made by the Big Three.
Or maybe it's becoming the Big Four.
Being Yaesu, Kenwood, ICOM, and Olinko. You know what it reminds me of? Our cigarette brands. Cigarette brands. A good friend of mine would do what he called calling slugs. In other words, if I happen to fart, or if your buddy farts, you can call slugs. So what you do is you grab by the arm, or you just lock him down, you start pounding him. It's like, ow, ow, ow. See, have to name 20 cigarettes, Winston, Camel, Salem, you know, and on and on and on. I don't want to beat myself up here. But it's the same thing. Yaesu, Kenwood, ICOM, and Olinko. There's a number of others out there, too. But that is the modern, state-of-the-art stuff. And with modern-day technology, it's very easy to have a general coverage piece of radio transmitting equipment. You know, and the modifications, and a lot of them are simple. For instance, with the ICOM 735, or things like D34 and D35, some little pair of diodes that are marked with yellow sleeving, and cut the sleeve, and you got a general coverage transceiver. Now, the problem with the ICOM is, this is like with many others, the audio sounds yellowy. But the ICOM 735 is one of those that by fattening up the coupling capacitors all the way from the microphonium input right on up to the device that I believe it's an emitter follower into the balanced modulator. With mine, I swept it, and she was dead nuts flat from 15 hertz, which was as low as the audio oscillator would go, to 7.5 kilohertz, and then it rolled off abruptly. Probably they're passing the signal through the 15 kilohertz FM filter. That could be it. But anyway, that's plenty sufficient bandwidth for good old amplitude modulation to get good high fidelity speech out of it. Yes, high fidelity speech. But when you have a general coverage transceiver, like they say, oh my God, the thing can work out of the bands which I am assigned to operate on. Well, hey, you can join the pirates on 6955 or 6925. Warning, do not try this at home. It could lead to the radio piglies invading and snatching away your life, you know. Or you can go up to the good buddy band. And it's, well, I don't have it set up. I don't have the reverb abortion device on the channel, Kim-Ann. But you can get on there and you got the troglodyte on the channel. And, you know, it's a good 10, 15 watts. Yeah, it's more than legal power, but it's not enough to tear up your neighbor's TV and, you know, make the VCRs cry uncle and the computer modems to lock up from RF and the whole thing. So it works rather well. But, you know, there are legitimate purposes. The ICOM is representative of a number of others. Is it'll actually have reasonable RF output down to about maybe 1,200 kilohertz. Remember when 1,200 was a clear channel? That's where I did my pirating. Clear channel in the Northeast, now no longer. I don't think there are any clear channels in the AM band anymore, which is too bad. But that's what they call regress. Progress. Regress. Progress. Regress. Anyway, A clear channel broadcasting system would be a good thing to have maintained, which is part of the whole spectrum argument here. Getting back to the work bands, those rice boxes, you know, they're so handy. Well, I used one as an exciter to drive my Class C high-level plate-modulated final amplifier, which makes about 300-and-some-odd watts output. And I'd get up on 17 meters with it. I'd get up on 12 meters occasionally. But then again, you ask about the old AM equipment that was around back in the 50s and 60s when, you know, kits and readily manufactured transmitters that would work on either Morse code, known as CW, or radio telephony, or just plain apostrophe F-O-N-E, phone. You look around for these FT-243 holder type crystals, and I think it was the second day that operation on those frequencies was allocated. I just looked around the junk box and I went,
what crystals are readily available that will
multiply up into the 17 meter ham band? So 6050, yes, a crystal in the 49 meter band. Its third harmonic comes up on 18.150. So I fired up there and made a few friends, made a few enemies, but that's the way it is. It's free society, and in a free society you can practice all different kinds of ways of doing things, whether somebody likes it or not. But if everybody hated it, well, maybe that would be a little bit of a different kind of thing. But, you know, a lot of the older Johnson equipment, like the Ranger, the Valiant, and a number of the others, you just plug a 6050 crystal in there, boom, tunes up on 17 meters, whether you put the band switch in the 20-meter or 15-meter position. And there's countless other transmitters that were not supposed to work there, but with a crystal, will work. Or the ever more popular Heapshit HG10 VFO, which was alleged to be stable enough for harmonic operation to operate on 6 or 2 meters. Well, we can take the 6-meter band and tweak that range a little bit, and that'll work for the 17-meter band and the... Oh, wait a minute. I think the 6-meter range will work on the 12-meter band. That's it. And the... The other range there will work on 17 meters. That's the 2-meter range. We'll multiply up. Just tweak it. Tweak the little slugs, you know. Of course, have a frequency counter available. Anyway, it's getting to be about that time. It's time to drain my log. So I will have to take a break. We're going to play some ham radio music.
Where I was born, and the man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life.